Very warm welcome. How grateful we must be today that we can sit here in comfort without terror. Do you know today there are millions in terror, terror of unknown things in the earthquake areas. Some 3 weeks ago, it was New Zealand. Then it was China. And on Friday and today, it is Japan. Think of the millions who have been hit by this natural disaster. I had an email letter from some unknown person in America, some Chinese person. He calls himself the Chinaman. And he says, I read with interest your article in the internet about earthquakes being God's doing, that the Lord Jesus is returning. He said, let me inform you, earthquakes are due to the movements of the earth and nothing to do with God. And we don't need people like you to tell us rubbish. So this is one of the things that have happened now. This morning is the OHP morning. By now, all of us here should be pretty well informed about what is the meaning of earthquakes. Signs of His coming multiply. But besides earthquakes, please understand, and it is coming to Singapore soon, the days of Lot and Sodom are inevitable and not preventable. No matter what we do, all we do is be ready for that change of social order, and you cannot stop it. And for the first time, majority of Americans today, actually this is reported in the year 2010, accept gays in society as normal people. President Obama himself says, during the tenure of my presidency, that is for the 4 years, it is his ambition and his purpose to persuade and to have the American people accept gays in the midst of society as noble people, and he's achieving it. This is his goal. This is a major sign of the Lord's return. Normally, I don't pay too much attention to strait times, but these 2 days, 11 pages of strait times yesterday devoted to the earthquake. Today, 14 pages. In the front page of Straits Times, it says, nuclear scare because the nuclear power station was blown up by an explosion brought by the earthquake. So now the scare is radioactive fallout. Will it happen? Don't know. What is the death toll? Think of, we sit here happily, we don't feel anything. Think of the 10,000 missing in one town alone, missing, don't know where. So today, the death toll is said to be 637 officially counted, reported, with names of course. And the 10,000 and others assure us the death toll will rise. As I said, death is never far away, but until it hits home, it is meaningless. It's just a statistic. 3,637. After the main quake, which happened off the northeast coast of Japan, the main island, Honshu, which is the biggest ever in Japanese history. How many? 8.9 Richter scale. There have been 160 aftershocks. That means after the big one or the small ones keep on coming. 160 times. How many buildings without water and power? That means you can't have pipe water, no? You got to think of other water, maybe rainwater. 5 million houses without water. Can you live? And over 200,000 emergency evacuation. These are front page headlines. So while we dwell in safety, think of danger. These are the hard facts of life. Once again, in the light of what my American correspondent wrote to me, he says, earthquakes, what has it got to do with God? Earthquakes are due to the earth plates. And he says, these are the platonic plates moving. I say, poor chap, he doesn't know his English. So these are the distress of nations. This is quoting Luke's gospel. Waves roaring. This is in the gospel, you know. Distress of nations. How many nations? All the nations around the Pacific Rim are worried because of that quake. The water, as in the basin, moves when the bottom of the basin shakes, failing them for fear. Hearts failing, hearts failing. Do you know what is heart failing? Don't know what to do. People in terror and panic because the powers of heaven are shaken. Do you agree? Recently I was told there are earth flares. No, sorry. Solar flares. Very big. Each flare will be one little bit of it is enough to burn up the whole earth. So I say, dear friends, are you ready? How are you living your life? How do you spend each day? These are wake-up signs. I remind you again so that you would never forget. Earthquakes, waves roaring. New Zealand, China, Japan, Pacific Rim, the whole rim. Are you ready? Are you really ready? I say now for some pictures out of courtesy of Straits Times. The headline calls it apocalypse. Do you understand the meaning of apocalypse? To put it very simply, end of the world. The feeling is, of course, it's not yet, but the feeling is, end of the world has come to Japan. See, innocent buildings suddenly burst out into flames. And fire is one of the most terrifying things. You never know the terror of fire until you experience it. And here the headline is destruction. Thank God for peaceful Singapore. Look at this picture. Suddenly, a peaceful countryside is turned into turmoil. All because earth plates are moving and whole cities and islands are devastated. Water that comes in from the sea that sweeps everything in its path for miles inland. As you're going to see in a moment, aeroplanes and motor cars are tossed around like toys. Like toys that you play in the children's bedroom. Look at them. So many of these MPVs and vans, plus the aeroplanes. This is in Sendai Airport. When? Yesterday. This could be somebody's home. Now the home is pieces of rubble and timber strewn all over the place. Does it cause us to think, dear friends? Does it cause you to think? And the best place to be when there is an earthquake is get out of the house and go to an open place. And here these are Japanese ladies. This is a scene in Tokyo because they have tremors. And so they say, get out of the house. And it's so cold outside, everybody wraps a blanket just to be safe. And innocent buildings suddenly explode into fire because they contain flammable materials. All these are the effects of the earthquake. This is part of the tsunami. By the way, the tsunami is a Japanese word, you know. It means fantastic waves and water that goes out of control. See this water formation in a spiral, kind of a whirlpool. If you're caught in there, it's too bad. You're finished. Now, you say, it's so far away. You know, where the effects of the quake are felt. Do you know where? I heard the television say, California. Boats are turned, are affected, and even fishes are washed on shore. Where is California? Here. Here, that's California. And even in South America, they are alerted, just in case. But this whole thing is a Pacific Rim. The whole Pacific Rim is affected just because of one country's quake. Where's the quake? That's there. That's the quake. And everybody is shivering, wondering. May these pictures and words speak to all of us. But more important is, may the Lord speak to you. Now, change of topic. All of you have received this calling card in your weekly. Yes, can you just fish it out? Sunset Gospel Hour. Just 1 hour of your time may change your whole life. I speak to so many people here who hear what I say, in by this year, out by the other year, and say, good luck to you. You can attend tonight, but not me. I say, dear friends, consider again. Think again. May God speak to us. This little card is to invite you. Instead of sending you an invitation, this is laminated. I spoke to Jean. I said, Jean, can you do some work? No problem. I said, we'll give this out tonight at Sunset Gospel. Okay. But instead of Sunset Gospel, she has prepared for the whole congregation here this morning. So everybody has one. How many people will respond to this, I don't know. But I say in the Lord's name, I urge you to consider. This is the Lord's day. He's not here to please me. Of course, I'm pleased because you are walking closer to God. On His day, you come to His house. I've never willingly missed any. So kindly read this. What is the meaning of Sunset Gospel Hour? It is still part of the gospel day. And the gospel day is the Lord's day. The Lord's day is the day Jesus rose from the dead. And it is 24 hours. Please do not get the idea, I've called on God, courtesy call, already in the morning. Why bother me? I say, I'm not bothering anybody. It is the Lord's day and you owe it. If you're a Christian, this is the Lord's day. What is the Lord's day? Do you know? Can you tell me? It is the day that Jesus rose from the dead to confirm my justification. That He died for me, He rose for me. That I believing in Him and you believing in Him, you're justified. You have a future. You know that Jesus Christ truly saved you because He rose from the dead when? Today. The Lord's Day. And that is the only day that we come here to identify ourselves as God's people in this house of worship. So read here. I have tried 31 years, every possible means to improve and to make the service more user-friendly. And this is what we are trying to do now. Some of you, whenever we say, the stock answer every time, family dinner. As though, family dinner, don't catch up me. I don't want to go. So that is shut off, you see. I say, please consider. We have endeavored to tell our speakers, please, everybody, please, try to finish by 7 p.m. Sometimes you go to 7:05, a little bit more, so maybe 7:10. Does it matter? I say, if your friend invites you to a dinner, you don't say, hey, you told me it's 7 o'clock, I get out. No. And is Jesus worthy of a friend to you? Read this. Yes, we have done various things. We've even urged groups to come and sing a song and to move our spirits. And there will be testimonies from time to time to encourage us. So do please think. So here is SGH revamped. What is revamped? Today, commonly used in the newspapers, makeover. Makeover. This is the makeover. Songs are reviving. Testimonies of God's grace. Your choice hymns. We are going to ask you, choose your hymns. Maybe if you choose your hymns, you say, they're going to sing it. I should come. I better come. So I say, you have family dinner. Well and good. We are not depriving you of your family dinner. And there is blessing. Read Isaiah 58. And the blessing is yours. And God, who is the owner of this day and owner of every day, says, come along. Come and meet with me tonight. Keep the Lord's day holy. And as an encouragement to you, I never miss Sunday service, morning and night. When we were in Batu Pahat, night service, never miss. Here, the same. I say, why not you? The blessing is yours. And tonight, the sermon is based on this. Okay, this is preview. Tonight we're going to talk of the eye says no to evolution. Come and find out.
Please turn to the Word of God.
In today's text, 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 7. Reading from verse 7. These are the words written by Paul the Apostle. Please follow. They are very pertinent and instructive and profitable. What does Paul have to say to us today? If the ministration of death, written and engraved in stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look at the face of Moses, for the glory on his face, whose glory was to be done away with, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit of God, be rather more glorious? This is an appeal to our reasoning of comparing. What are the two things he's trying to compare? This passage is not easy to understand, but if explained, it is very easy to understand. There are two ministrations. Paul in his day had to contend with those who were of the older ministration. The Jews in the Old Testament style of worship and the Christians in the New Testament style. Paul was in the kind of transition period. And he had to teach his people, no, we are no longer living in the old period of the Old Testament. Today, are there Christians who live in the Old Testament days? They are called the Seventh-day Adventists. They keep the seventh day. We keep the first day. And they try to keep the laws of the Jews. Paul had this problem. We do not have it in our church because we do not go back to the Jewish days. Now, we keep the first day. And whereas in the Old Testament, it was Moses, Moses, Moses. It's all the time they refer to Moses. And the law given by Moses, as John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 17 says, the law was given by Moses. So in the Old Testament days, all the Jews read the law, the Torah. And they follow the Old Testament laws, the commandments was their kind of holy book. Everything is referred to commandments. By the time of Jesus Christ, he has fulfilled the demands of that law and commandments by keeping it for us on our behalf. This is gospel. Why is it we do not refer to the Ten Commandments to keep it for salvation? We don't. Why? We are in the new dispensation, the New Testament, the age of faith. For the just shall live by faith. Even as Abraham believed God, it was counted to him for righteousness. So we as children of Abraham, although we are not Jews, but in the spirit, we are all in the same mold as he. By faith, Abraham was justified. Now are you clearer? Start again, Balik. We do not go back to the law and say, let us keep the law to get approval of God. We don't. How do we get approval? I look to Jesus. You look to Jesus. We come here because of Jesus. What has he done? He's kept the law. And he's proved himself as a sinless, spotless Lamb of God, who kept the law perfectly. And then he went to the cross to pay the debt of all our sins, all the sins we committed because we have broken the God's law, came on Jesus, on the cross, He paid the debt. How? With His own body and His blood, He shed it. Now, how are we saved? Looking to Jesus. He is my Savior. I believe in Him. Now is the ministration of faith, no longer ministration of law. Are you clear? Yes. How are you saved? I'm saved because I heard the gospel. Jesus died for my sins, rose from the dead for my justification. I believe in Him. I'm saved. Here is eternal life. Now I have a few more OHPs to help you understand. I'm sorry, my legs are not as before. So I walk with a slight falter. All right. Here we are. The ministry is glorious because they both came from God. Whereas the Old Testament or New Testament, whether it's Moses or Jesus, God sent them both. God called Moses, and Moses was a ministration of the Old Testament law. And it is a ministration of death. Because if you try to keep that law, you fail. And when you fail that keeping of the law, you die. So it is called the ministration of death, keeping the glory. The law was glorious. How come it was glorious? For that, we have to turn to the Word of God in Exodus chapter 34. Quickly now, please. Otherwise, you don't know what we are talking about. Exodus chapter 34, Genesis and then Exodus chapter 34, verse 29 and 30. Here it explains very clear. What do we mean by the glorious ministration of death? And it can be glorious. How come it's glorious? Verse 29. It came to pass when Moses... What was he doing up in Mount Sinai? 40 days and 40 nights. He was in the presence of God, communing with God, and writing down and letting God write down the Ten Commandments, the law. Now the day had come for him to descend the mountain. Now we read, now we understand. Moses was coming down from the mountain with the Ten Commandments in his hands, written on stone by the finger of God. Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tables or tablets or pieces of testimony in Moses' hand. When he came down from the mount, that Moses wist not, did not know, knew not, that the skin of his face shone while he talked with God. Amazing. God honored him, set the seal of glory on his face. He didn't know. In this way, Paul says, this is the ministration of glory. That the giving of the commandments was endorsed by God with shining glory on Moses' face to authenticate and to bless the giving of the law to the people. Verse 30, when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, what happened? The skin of his face shone. They were afraid to come with him, near him. This is the meaning of this ministration of glory, the glorious ministry. But the ministration of the Spirit is more glorious. Now, this is a comparison. Our worship today is direct to God through Jesus Christ our Lord, who has kept the law perfect. I'm repeating this so that you never forget it. Right? This is a ministration of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit leads us to Christ. And we trusting in Him by faith, we are saved. And this is our salvation. This is gospel. And this gospel is more glorious than the gospel that Moses brought with him, the law. So there are two ministrations. One is the law. One is trusting of having faith in Christ is more glorious. Now, Paul explains, he tried to keep the law. How to keep the law perfectly to gain God's approval? Impossible. In our mortal state, in the flesh, no man can keep the commandments of God 100% in all 10 commandments. And to break one commandment, you're finished. The whole law is broken. So, what happens when you break the commandments? You fail. When you fail, the reward for your failure is what? Death. Oh, this is the result of keeping the law imperfectly. So, this is Paul's confession in Romans 7:10. If you make a note of this, go home, you can refer to it. Paul says, I tried keeping the commandments. And the commandment which was ordained to life, I found I could not keep. And to me, it brought death. But is it wrong with something wrong with the commandment? No. The law of God is perfect. Is a good law given to, by God to Moses, to us. So this is Romans 7:10. Now Paul's conclusion. Wherefore, the law is holy. Is the law holy? Yes. It is given by God. It's a perfect law. Thou shalt not have any other God before me. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. All the Ten Commandments, are they good? Answer, yes, absolutely good. Can you keep it? Answer is no, because even I try my best, I fail. And when I fail, what happens? I face the penalty of death. What must we do? We flee to the Lord Jesus Christ for His salvation grace. By faith, even as Abraham. He says, Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. So this is Romans 7:12. Now what is the use of the law of God then? What is the use? Paul says, the law was like a schoolmaster. What does a schoolmaster do? Takes us under his care and instructs us, but leads us on to the real teacher, that is to Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by faith. He leads us to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is our faith. So the work of the law is to show us the sinfulness of all of us. How awful. You cannot know your sin unless the law of God shines on you. I received a letter from our friend Joshua Young. Joshua Young attends Truth. He's a young FEBC graduate. Some of you know him. He's from our church, Calvary Jurong. And he says, I'm a teacher now in Nairobi. Where is Nairobi? Kenya. And I go home visiting. And I'm appalled, amazed. So many people here do not know anything about God's law. They don't know it is a sin to commit adultery or to have two wives and just live together. Because they are ignorant. They do not know the law. Now the law is a schoolmaster. Now you tell him it is wrong for you to have two women. Have one only. And keep yourself undefiled. A channel of blessing and a vessel for God's use. He doesn't know. How does he know now? Because you tell him, the law of God says you must not do. Ah, thank God for the law. Is the law bad? No. The badness is in us. We cannot keep the law. The law is holy, perfect. So, Paul says now, while you cannot keep the whole law perfectly, it has a wonderful function. It brings us to Christ, that we may come to Jesus and say, Lord Jesus, I believe in you as my Savior. And that justifies you because you have faith and you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is in the book of Galatians chapter 3. Now having come to Jesus Christ, there's no condemnation. For they who are in Christ walk not after the flesh. You're not trying to keep the commandments to perfection, but you look to Jesus Christ and trusting Him. Every day come to Him and say, Lord, help me. I know I'm weak in the flesh. I'm prone to temptation, to sinning. Please help me. Will He help you? This is the test. Do you come to Him? And my friends, walk not after the flesh. Don't do because other people do. There is the lust of the flesh that is in all of us. And if you follow your flesh, you go and do the things that are of the flesh. Then you fall. Then you fall into sin. You sin and you're finished. But walking after the Spirit is coming to Jesus. Commune with Him every morning. Every morning, noon and night. Frequently. Therefore, if you do that, it says, Romans 8. This is following Romans 7. Remember I said just now, in Romans 7, Paul says, if you live after the flesh and try to keep the law, you fail. And the penalty of failure is death. Now, you've fled from the law. Come to Jesus at Calvary and say, Lord Jesus, and He has mercy on you. You're in Christ. He takes you in. You walk not after the flesh anymore, but after the Spirit. And there is no condemnation. No condemnation. So now you can truly enjoy the Word of God. This is from Psalm 119:97. This is a verse we all love, we all know well. Psalm 119, verse 97. Oh, how love I thy law. Because it is a holy law. It is a good law. It is a law to protect us from going astray and from sinning against God. Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. So it is. You think upon the law. Let us turn now to the book of Galatians. And then we will understand the argument and the reasoning behind this ministration that is glorious. Galatians chapter 3, verses 11. All right. Just quickly, please. Galatians, after Romans and Corinthians, is Galatians chapter 3, verse 11. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. Because you cannot keep the law to perfection. So if you depend on the law, you're finished. For the just shall live by faith. By faith meaning trusting in God, obeying the word of God. Even as Abraham obeyed God, it was counted to him for righteousness. Verse 12. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law because we cannot keep the law. So you try to keep the law, it becomes a curse to you. Being made a curse for us. Who was made a curse for us? Jesus. He was made the curse. He kept the law perfectly, but he bore our penalty. Your penalty, my penalty. The penalty of all humanity, every man on earth, man, woman, and child. Verse 14. So that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. The promise of the Spirit is, look unto Jesus. Trust in Him. Follow Him. Obey Him. Serve Him. Then you find everlasting life. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, teach us how we may obtain thy favor and approval, not by trying to keep the law, but always looking unto Jesus, thy Son, who on the cross paid the penalty for our sins, who in his life lived the perfect obedience to God, and in his place we receive his blessing by faith. Hear our prayer. Bless all who hear this and help us to live lives that are pleasing to thee. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.